Chapter 4 Woman and Nisa. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. O people, be mindful of your Lord who created you from a single soul, source of life, and created its partner from it. And from those two, dispersed a multitude of men and women across earth as different peoples. Be mindful of God, by whom, via His grace and mercy, you ask one another for your rights and remain connected with your relatives. Surely God is a watcher over you. Give the orphans their property when they attain maturity and good sense. Do not replace good things with bad, and do not eat up their property by mixing it with your own. For that is indeed a great sin. If you fear that you will not deal fairly with them, then with the intention to look after them, marry those women, widows, and female orphans who you like, 2, 3, or 4. But if you fear that you will not be just toward multiple wives, then take only one, or what female slave your right hands possess. Doing so makes it likelier that you will not be unjust. Give women their bridal gifts with sincerity, sweetness, and purity like honey. But if they remit any of it voluntarily, then consume it with wholesome enjoyment. But do not give your property or that of the orphans under your care, that God has made a means of your subsistence for those who are immature. Rather, provide for them out of it its profits. Clothe them and speak good words to them. Test the orphans for maturity and learning until they reach the age of marriage. Then, if you notice in them signs of maturity, deliver all of their property to them. Do not consume it lavishly and hastily out of fear that they should grow up and ask for it. As for him who does not need to recover the costs of their care, let him abstain. As for him who is in need, let him partake thereof in an honorable manner, in accordance with his time's customs. When you deliver their property to them, take witnesses with you, even though God suffices as reckoner. Men, sons, have a share of what is left by parents and near relatives. And women, daughters, also have a share in what is left by parents and near relatives, whether it be little or much, an ordained share. Whenever the division is attended by poor relatives who do not have a share, the orphans or the needy give them a provision out of it and speak to them kindly. Let those who would fear for their own helpless children's future, if they were to die, show the same concern for orphans. And let them be mindful of God and speak good words to them. Without a doubt, those who embezzle the orphans' property only devour fire in their bellies. They will soon enter the blaze. God enjoins you regarding the rules of inheritance for your children. Males shall have a share like that of two females. If only daughters, two or more, then they shall have 2/3 of the inheritance. And if only one daughter, then she shall receive half of it. Parents shall each receive 1/6. If the deceased had no children, and his parents are their inheritors, then the mother will receive 1/3, and the remainder goes to the father. If the deceased had some brothers or sisters, the mother will receive 1/6, the father will receive 1/3, and the remainder will go to the brothers. These divisions are after any will the deceased made or debt they had. You do not know which of your parents or children are likelier to avail and benefit you. These rules are a divine duty. Indeed, it is God who is all-knowing, all-wise. Your share, as men, is half of what your spouses leave behind if they had no children. If they had a child, then your share is 1/4 of what they have left, after any will they make has been carried out, or any debt they have incurred has been paid off. Your spouse's share shall be 1/4 of what you leave behind. If you have no children, if you have children, then they shall have 1/8 of what you leave, after any will you make or any debt you have incurred. If a man has an heir who is kalala, brothers and sisters without parents or children, or a woman who has a brother or a sister, then each of them shall receive 1/6. And if they, the heirs, are more than that, then they shall all share in 1/3 after fulfilling any will that has been made or any debt without prejudice to their heirs. This is an order from God, and God is all-knowing, all-forbearing. These are God's bounds, and whosoever obeys God and his messenger will be admitted to a paradise beneath which rivers flow, living forever therein. That is the great success. And whoever disobeys God and his messenger and transgresses his bounds will be consigned to the fire, in which they will remain forever. They shall have a humiliating punishment. As for any of your women, wives, who commit an indecent act, call 4 persons from among yourselves to testify against them. If they testify, then detain them, the women, in their homes, until they die, or until God opens for them a way to solve the problem. And the 2 from among you who commit it, chastise them both. Then, if they repent and reform their behavior, leave them alone and do not punish them. Surely God is all clement, all merciful. The acceptance of repentance is for God and only for those who repent swiftly after unwittingly committing evil acts. It is these persons to whom God will turn. God is all-knowing, all-wise. The success of repentance is neither for those who continue to sin until they are near death, that one of them might say, "Now I repent," nor for those who die while in a state of denial. A painful punishment awaits them. O you who have faith, it is not lawful for you to inherit widowed women, and do not press them, your wives, to give back part of what you have given them as a bridal gift, unless they commit a clear indecency. Consort with them in an honorable manner. If you have grounds to dislike them and wish to move out, then maybe you dislike something that God has endowed with abundant good. If you are incompatible with one another, and thus desire to replace one wife with another, and even if you have given any of them a quintal of gold as a bridal gift, do not remove anything from it. Do you want to take it by way of selfishness and greed? How could you take it back when you have benefited from one other, and they, wives, have taken from you a solemn covenant of marriage? Do not marry women whom your fathers have married, save for what has already passed before this ruling was revealed. Surely this is an indecent act, creating outrage and an evil custom. Forbidden to you are marriages with your mothers, daughters, and sisters, your paternal and maternal aunts, and your brothers and sisters' daughters, your mothers who suckled you, and your foster sisters, wives' mothers, and the stepdaughters under your care from the wives with whom you have had sexual intercourse. But if you have not had sexual intercourse with them, there is no sin upon you in marrying their daughters. Also forbidden to you are the divorced wives of your sons, who are from your own loins, and that you marry two sisters at the same time, born of the same mother, but different father. Except for what is past, surely God is all-forgiving, all-merciful. It is also forbidden for you to marry married women, except for those taken as prisoners of war, whom your right hands possess. These rules are God's written law for you. As for all others, it is lawful for you to seek them with your wealth, a bridal gift, and promising to provide for them in wedlock, not merely lust. For the enjoyment you have had from them in this way, give them their bridal gift as a matter of obligation. There is no sin upon you in what you may agree upon regarding its payment after reaching an accord. Surely God is all-knowing, all-wise. Whoever cannot afford to marry faithful, free women can marry the believing women that your right hands possess. But God knows best your faith. So with their owner's permission, you may marry them and give them their bridal gift in a proper fashion with the intention of retaining them and forming a family, not adulteresses or lovers. But if they commit adultery, they shall receive only half the punishment of free women. This is a permission for those of you who fear falling into sexual hardship. But it is better for you to be patient until you can afford to marry a free woman. God is all-forgiving, most merciful. God wishes to explain good moral conduct to you and guide you to the ways of those who came before you and turn to you with his mercy. God is all-knowing, all-wise. God wishes to turn you to him. But as for those who follow their desires, they want you to go far astray as they have. God wishes to be lenient with you and knows that humanity was created weak when confronted with sexual desire. O you who have faith, do not consume your wealth, your social development capital, among yourselves wrongfully, but only through trade to which both parties agree, and do not kill yourselves over differences of wealth, for surely God is ever merciful toward you. And whoever does this intentionally, by way of transgression and injustice, we will soon cast him into the fire. That is a most easy thing for God. If you avoid the major forbidden sins, then we will efface the effects of your lesser misdeeds and admit you with a noble reception. Do not covet that with which God has favored some of you above others. To men belongs a share of what they have earned, and to women a share of what they have earned. So, instead of succumbing to envy or despair, ask God for his grace. Indeed, God has knowledge of all things. We have made each man and woman heirs to what their parents and relatives leave behind, and those with whom you have made compacts, and who are the deceased's debtors, give them their due, for surely God is a witness to all things. Men are maintainers of women by virtue of what God has given some of them over another, physical power, and in so far as they spend out of their wealth on their family. Therefore, righteous women are ever obedient to God's command, protective of their chastity, in private of what God has ordained to be protected. As for those women from whom you fear disobedience, disregard for marital rights, first admonish them, then keep apart from them in bed, and lastly punish them. Then, if they obey you and fulfill their marital duty, do not seek a way to use your power against them, for surely God is most lofty, most magnificent. If this approach is ineffective, and you fear an unamicable separation between them, appoint an arbitrator from his family and an arbitrator from her family. If they, the couple, or the arbitrators, intend to find a resolution, God will bring about accord between them. Surely God is all-knowing, all-aware. Submit to God and do not make anything or anyone an associate of him. Be kind to your parents and your relatives, orphans, the needy, near neighbors and far neighbors, the companion at your side, for example, co-workers, colleagues, and travelling companions, the traveller and those whom your right hands possess. Surely God does not love someone who is arrogant and haughty. As for those who are stingy and tell people to be stingy and conceal what God has given them from His grace so that others will not ask them for help, we have prepared a humiliating punishment for the faithless who ignore the rights of the poor. And for those who spend their wealth ostentatiously to be seen by people and do not believe in God or in the last day, and whoever has taken Satan as a companion, what an evil companion is he! And what harm will befall them by believing in the one God and the last day, and by spending out of what God has provided for them? Even if they forget God and His creatures, He is always well aware of them and their deeds. Surely, God does not wrong anyone by so much as an atom's weight. And if there is any good in a person's deeds, He multiplies it and bestows upon him a great reward. So how shall the state of the disbelievers be when we bring a witness from every nation, an exemplar of their deeds, and bring you as a witness over these people, the Muslims? On the day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the Prophet will wish that earth was levelled along with them, but they cannot conceal anything from God. O you who have faith, do not approach prayer while you are drunk, until you know what you are saying, nor in a state of ritual impurity, until you have performed ablution, unless you are passing through a mosque. If you are ill or on a journey, or one of you has come from the toilet or been intimate with women and cannot find water for ablution, then seek out some elevated clean ground and wipe it on your face and hands. Surely God is all-forgiving, all clement. Have you not seen how those Jewish religious scholars who were given a portion of the book purchased error and desire to lead you into error, so you would be like them? God knows your foes better. God suffices as an ally, and God suffices as a helper. Some of the Jews distort the meaning of revealed words from their proper place. They say, "We hear, and having understood, we disobey." You also hear without listening and say, "Have regard for us," thereby twisting words and reviling the faith and beliefs of others. If they had sincerely said, "We hear and obey, and you also listen to us, and have regard for us," this would have surely been better and more upright for them. But God has removed them from His mercy because of their disbelief, and few of them have faith. O you who were given the book, the Torah, believe in what we have sent down, the Quran, which is a confirmation of what is with you. Before we blot out the receptivity to the truth of the countenances and turn them backward or keep them far from our mercy, as we did with the people of the Sabbath, God's command will always be fulfilled. Surely God will not forgive associating partners with him. However, he will forgive anything less than that for whomever he wills, deems worthy. Whoever associates a partner with God has indeed contrived a narrow-minded lie. Have you not regarded those who consider themselves pure, how pleased they are with themselves? Rather, it is only God who purifies whoever he wills, and he does not wrong them so much as a date thread, not in the slightest. See how they invent lies about God out of their own delusion and vainglory. This alone is enough to reveal their narrow-mindedness. Do you not see those religious leaders of the people of the book who were given a share of the book? How to gain and maintain status and worldly benefits? Believe in idols and rebels and say of those who disbelieve, these are better guided than those who have faith. It is they whom God has cursed, and whoever God curses, you will never find for them a helper. Or do they have a share of sovereignty, a rank and responsibility? If this were the case, they would not give people so much as a speck, a seed, in a bird's beak. Or do they envy people, the Prophet and the Muslims, on account of the grace God has bestowed upon them, prophethood and scripture? This narrow-mindedness is unacceptable, for we gave the family of Abraham both the lines of Isaac and Ishmael, the book and wisdom and a great kingdom, and Muhammad is from Abraham's line. But some of them believe in it, the grace given to the prophet, and some bar others from following him. The blaze of hell is enough for them. Surely, we will soon take those who disbelieve in our signs and prevent others from following them into a fire in which we will replace their scorched skins with new ones so they may taste the punishment again. Surely God is almighty, all wise. And as for those who have faith and do righteous deeds, we will admit them to gardens of paradise, beneath which rivers flow, and in which they will live forever. In paradise, they shall have pure spouses, and we will admit them into a broad shade. Surely, God bids you to deliver trusts to their owners. When you judge between the people, do so with justice. Surely this is the least that God admonishes you to observe. Surely God is all-hearing, all-seeing. O you who have faith, obey God, obey the messenger, and those in authority in civil matters among you. Whenever you dispute a matter with officials and those in charge, if you truly believe in God and the Day of Resurrection, then refer it to God, the Quran, and the Messenger, and after his death, his Sunnah. This is the better way and more favorable in outcome. Do you not see those who claim to believe in what has been sent down to you, O Muhammad, and what has been sent down before you, seeking the judgment of unjust tyrants, even though they were commanded to reject it? Satan, by giving legitimacy to unjust governments, wants to lead them far astray. And when they are told, "Come to God's revelations and to the messenger, and rise above the existing man-made imposed standards," you see the hypocrites turn away from you in disgust. How will it be when they are afflicted by a tribulation because of their own deeds? Then they will come to you, swearing by God that "we wanted nothing except goodness and success." They are the ones who try to hide what is in their hearts, although God knows all of their secrets, so leave them alone. Admonish them and tell them something that they will feel in their souls and will benefit them. We sent no messenger but for him to be obeyed by God's leave voluntarily. If, when they wronged themselves through hypocrisy and accepting the tyrant's verdict, they had come to you and pleaded to God for forgiveness, and the messenger had prayed for them to receive it, they would have surely found God all-forgiving, all-merciful. So it is not the case that one can claim to be truly faithful while engaging in hypocrisy and two-facedness by your Lord, that they will not truly believe until they make you judge over all their disputes, and then feel no aversion to your decree and submit to it completely. If they were told to sacrifice yourselves fighting the enemy, or leave your homes on a mission, only a few would do so. And if they did what they were told to do, it would surely be better for them and make them firmer in faith. In that case, we would surely have given them a great reward and led them to the straight path. Whoever obeys God and the messenger will be with those whom God has especially blessed in paradise, of the prophets, the truthful, the witnesses, and the righteous. What excellent companions they are! That is a grace from God, and God suffices as one who knows well his servants' affairs. O you who have faith, take your defensive precautions and then go forth to the battlefield in groups or all at once. Without doubt, among you are those who tarry and delay going to the battlefield. If they suffer a calamity or a defeat, they will say, "God was surely merciful to us that we did not go with them." And if some of God's grace, victory, or spoils should reach you, as if there were no ties of affection between you and them, they will surely say, "Oh, if only I was with them, so that I had won a great victory and won spoils." So let those who sell this world for the hereafter fight in the way of God. Whether the one who fights in the way of God is killed or triumphs, we will soon give him and her a great reward. Why should you not fight in his way to save the oppressed men, women, and children who say, "Our Lord, take us out from this town of wrongdoers, and appoint for us a guardian, leader from you, and appoint from us a helper from you"? Those who believe fight in God's way, while those who disbelieve fight in the way of the tyrants. So fight the Satan's allies, Surely his deceptive plots are indeed weak. Have you not seen before the Hijra, when those who were told, withhold your hands, limit yourself to self-defense, and focus on strengthening your faith and community's economic foundations, maintain the prayer, and give the zakat, instead of giving into pride and anger? But when, after the Hijra, fighting was prescribed for them, behold, a part of them were afraid of people, enemies, as if fearing God, or were even more afraid, and they said, Our Lord, why did you prescribe fighting for us? Why did you not give us respite for a short time, so we could prepare ourselves? Say, the enjoyment of this world is little, fleeting, whereas the hereafter is better for those who are mindful of God, and control their ego. If you adopt the path of God awareness, you will not be wronged so much as a single date thread, i.e., in the slightest. If fear causes you to run, know that death will surely find you wherever you may be, even if you were in fortified towers. If some good comes to those superficial Muslims, they say, This is from God. But if some ill afflicts them, they say, This because of your poor command and leadership. Say, Everything is from God. It takes place in the system of cause and effect He has created. What is the matter with these people that they can barely understand any new speech? Whatever good comes to you is from God, and whatever ill afflicts you is from yourself. God suffices as a witness. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed God. As for those who turn away, we have not sent you as a guardian over them. They are responsible for their own actions. They make an outward show of obedience by fighting, but when they leave you, a group of them says the opposite of what they had said to you about remaining united and scheme against you. But, in fact, God keeps a record of what they plot. So, despite their treachery, do not confront them. Rather, place your trust in God. God suffices as a trustee. Do they, these hypocrites, not ponder on the Quran and realize that, had it come from someone other than God, they would have found many inconsistencies therein. When a report for safety or alarm, an attack by the enemy, comes to them, they immediately broadcast it, and thereby cause the masses complacent and confused. Had they referred to the messenger or those vested with authority among them, those who investigate would have ascertained the truth of it. Were it not for God's grace upon you and His mercy, all but a few of you would surely have followed Satan in this regard. So, O Messenger, fight in the way of God and do not burden anyone else with that responsibility. Rather, encourage the faithful, and perhaps God will curb the disbeliever's might. God is more severe in might than the unbelievers, and more severe in punishment. Whoever intercedes with a good intention to assemble and organize the army and encourages others to join shall have a share of their mediation. And whoever intercedes with a bad intention shall also have a requital. God has power over all things. Whenever you are greeted with peace and goodness or an act of kindness, then respond with that which is better or equal to it. God keeps account of all things. God, there is none worthy of worship except Him, will surely gather you for the day of judgment, about which there is no doubt. And who is truer than God in speech? So, knowing their behavior, why are you divided concerning the hypocrites, whom God has turned upside down because of what they have earned? Do you wish to guide someone whom God has allowed to go astray? Whoever God leaves to go astray, surely you shall never find a way for them to escape His will. They desire that you should follow them in disbelief so that you become alike. So do not take them as true friends unless they immigrate to Medina in the way of God by forsaking the idolaters of Mecca and joining the Muslims in Medina. And if they turn away and remain with the enemy, then seize and kill them wherever you meet them. Take none of them as allies or helpers. Except for those who join a people with whom you have a peace treaty, or come to you with hearts averse to fighting you or their own people. If they want to adopt a position of neutrality, you should leave them alone. Had God willed, He would have surely given them power over you, and then they would have fought you. So if they withdraw, do not fight you and offer you peace. God does not allow you to pursue any course of action against them. You will find others of the hypocrites desiring security from you and from their own people, the Meccans. They only seek their own benefit so that whenever they are called back to idolatry, they relapse into it. So, if they do not stop their aggression against you, offer you peace, or keep their hands off from fighting, then seize them and kill them wherever you confront them. It is such against whom we have given you a manifest authority. No believer has the right to kill another believer, except in error. Whoever does so must free a believing prisoner or slave and pay blood compensation to their family, unless they forego this. And if they, the one slain, were from a hostile people who are at war with you, but they were a believer, then in this case the killer must only free a believing prisoner. But if the one slain was from a people with whom you had a treaty, then in this case they must pay blood compensation to their family and then free a believing prisoner. Whoever cannot do so should fast 2 consecutive months. This reduction is conditioned upon clemency from God, and God is all-knowing, all-wise. Whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hellfire, where he will remain forever. God's wrath is upon him, and he will be denied his mercy. God shall prepare a grave punishment for him. O those of you who have faith, Whenever you strike forth in the way of God, try to verify their religious positions. Do not tell someone who comes to you peacefully with the outward appearance of Islam, "You are not a believer," treating them as an enemy, killing them, and taking their possessions as spoils to seek this world's transitory gains. Abundant riches lie only with God. Before Islam, you too were such, but God granted you grace by freeing you from this world's fetters. So ascertain carefully, as God is surely well aware of everything you do, to the smallest detail. Those believers who stayed behind without a valid excuse are not equal to those who struggled in God's way with their wealth and lives. God has favored those who struggled with their wealth and lives over those who sat behind by degrees, and, despite this, has made a good promise to everyone. However, God has favored the former, fighters, over the latter, non-fighters, with an immense reward, including degrees of ranks from Him, and forgiveness, and a special mercy. God is most forgiving, most merciful. Surely, those who accept the oppressors and refuse to emigrate wrong themselves. When the angels take their souls, they will ask, "Why did you not emigrate?" They will respond, "We were oppressed in the land." They, the angels, will say, "Was God's earth not vast enough so you could immigrate therein?" So, being conservative and accepting their oppression, their refuge in both worlds is hell, a terrible fate indeed. Except for those men, women, and children who were weak, oppressed, and could find no means to immigrate, and were not guided to any solution to save themselves. For these, it is hoped that God will forgive them, and God is indeed all clement, all forgiving. Those who migrate in the way of God will find many refugees on earth and relief, life and blessings. Those who leave their homes and die while migrating toward God and His Messenger, their reward shall certainly fall on God. God is all-forgiving, all-merciful. When you strike forth in the land to face the enemy, it is no sin upon you to shorten the prayers if you fear that the unbelievers may trouble you with a surprise attack during your prayers. Truly, they are your clear enemies. When you, O Prophet, are among them on military expeditions and lead them in prayers, let a group of them stand with you during the first rak'ah with their weapons. After the prostrations, they should withdraw to the back to protect the others. Then let the other group, which has not prayed, come and pray with you. They must also take precautions and bear their weapons. For the unbelievers are eager that you neglect your weapons and baggage so they can assault you all at once. If you are troubled by rain or sickness, it is no sin, i.e., you will not be blamed to set aside your weapons, but take precautions. Surely, through your readiness and preparedness, God has prepared for the unbelievers a humiliating punishment. When you have finished the prayers, then remember God as before, standing, sitting, and lying on your sides. When you feel secure, perform the prayers as usual, for indeed, it is a timed prescription for the faithful. Do not slacken in your pursuit of the aggressors. If you are suffering, they are surely suffering like you. But you expect from God what they do not expect. God is all-knowing, all-wise. Surely, we have sent down to you the book with the truth, so you can judge between the people by what God has shown you via revelation. Do not be an advocate for the traitors. And seek God's forgiveness, for God is surely oft forgiving, most merciful. But do not plead for those who betray themselves by betraying others. For God surely does not love one who is treacherous and selfish, narrow-minded and short-sighted. They seek to hide their own betrayals from people, but they seek not to hide from God. He is always with them, even when they conspire at night with words that displease him, defending their tribesmen. God always encompasses everything they do. You plead for them in the life of this world, but on the day of judgment, who will defend them in front of God? Who will be their trustee, advocate? Whoever does evil or wrongs themselves and then pleads to God for forgiveness will find God oft forgiving, most merciful. Those who earn self-centeredness only earn it to their own detriment. God is all-knowing, all-wise. Those who earn an error or a sin, self-centeredness, and then attribute it to an innocent person, have burdened themselves with calumny and a manifest sin of selfishness. Were it not for God's grace and His mercy upon you, surely, O prophet, a group of them were bent on leading you astray. But they only misled themselves, for they cannot harm you. God has sent down to you the book and wisdom and taught you what you did not and could not know. Great is God's grace upon you. There is no good in much of their secret talks, except for one who enjoins charity or what is right or reconciliation between people. We shall soon confer a great reward upon those who do that seeking only God's pleasure. But as for those who defy the messenger after the guidance has become clear to him and follow a way other than that of the faithful, we shall abandon them to the wilaya, friendship and support of whoever or whatever they seek protection with. As a consequence of their betrayal, we shall make them enter hell, and it is an evil destination. Surely God does not forgive associating any partner with Him. However, He does forgive anything less than that for whomever He wills, i.e., He deems worthy. Whoever ascribes partners to God has certainly strayed far into error. Instead of God, they call for help only to females, idols in the form of angels. But in reality, they only call upon a rebellious devil by following their hypocritical and devil-like leaders. May God drive him Satan away from his mercy, paradise and proximity to him, for saying, I will surely take of your servants a specified share to serve me. I will surely lead them astray, give them far-fetched hopes, prompt them to slit the ears of cattle, to indicate their holiness and an offering to the idols, and prompt them to alter God's creation. Whoever takes Satan as a guardian instead of God has certainly incurred a manifest loss. Satan promises them and imprisons them with false hopes. However, Satan actually promises them nothing but delusion. Their refuge shall be hell, from which they shall find no escape. But as for those who have had faith and done good deeds, we will soon admit them to gardens beneath which rivers flow, and in which they will live eternally. God has given a true promise, and who is more honest than God in speech? Paradise is attained neither through your hopes nor through the far-fetched hopes of the people of the book. Whoever does evil shall be requited with it, and shall not find besides God any guardian or helper. And whoever, whether male or female, does righteous deeds, while being truly faithful and sincere, will enter paradise without being stinted of their rights in the slightest. Which person is better in religion than those who submit their countenance, lifestyle, will, to God, while doing good deeds and following the upright religion of Abraham, whom God took as an intimate friend? To God alone belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. God encompasses all things. O Prophet, they seek your ruling concerning women, i.e., orphan girls. Say, God gives you a ruling concerning them, and what is announced to you in the scripture concerning female orphans whom you deprive of what has been stipulated for them, e.g., dowry, inheritance, or property, and yet desire to marry, and about the rights of the helpless children who are under pressure or coercion. You must maintain the orphans with justice. Indeed, God knows well whatever good you do. If a woman fears her husband's misconduct or desertion, there is no sin, no shame or blame upon them if they reach a reasonable reconciliation. This is better than separation. Greed exists in all human souls, but if you show kindness and restrain yourself from anger, God is indeed well aware of what both of you do. You cannot be fair between wives in terms of love and affection, even if you are eager to do so. Yet do not turn away from one altogether, leaving her, the other wife, suspended. If you set things right and restrain yourself, surely God is all-forgiving, all-merciful. But if they separate, let them not despair, for God will suffice each of them out of his bounty. God is all-bounteous, all-wise. To God belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. We have certainly enjoined those Jews and Christians who were given the book before you, and to you that you should be God-conscious by controlling your selfish desires. But even if you deny this command, then know that to God indeed belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. God is all-sufficient, all-praiseworthy. To God belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth, and God suffices as trustee. O people, if he wishes, he will replace you with others. God has the power to do that. Whoever desires the material reward of this world should know that with God is the reward of this world and the hereafter. God is all-hearing, all-seeing. O you who have faith, be upholders of fairness and witnesses for God's sake, even if it should be against yourselves or your parents and near relatives, and whether it be someone rich or poor. For God's justice has a greater right over both parties. So do not follow the self's desires, lest you should turn aside from what is right. If you go astray or turn away, God is surely well aware of what you do. O you who claim to have faith, truly have faith in God, his messenger, the book he has sent down to his messenger, and the book he had sent down earlier. Whoever disbelieves in God and his angels, his books and his messengers, and in the last day, has certainly strayed far into error. Without a doubt, God shall never forgive those who believe and then disbelieve, then believe and then again disbelieve, and then increase in disbelief, nor shall he lead them to any path. Give the hypocrites the good news of a painful punishment waiting for them. Those who seek friendship, protection, and guardianship from the unbelievers instead of the believers, do they seek might with them? Then they should know that all might belongs to God. He has already sent down to you in the book that when you hear God's signs being disbelieved and derided, do not sit with them until they talk about something else, or else your presence will be interpreted as agreement. In this situation, you will be considered like them. Truly God will gather all the hypocrites and deniers in hell together. Those are the ones who always wait for bad things to happen to you. If God gives you a victory, they say, "Were we not with you and entitled to a share of the spoils?" But if the disbelievers meet with success, they would say, "Did we not have mastery over you and yet support you and defend you from the believers?" God will judge between you on the day of resurrection and will never provide the unbelievers any way to authority over the believers if they are truly faithful. Surely the hypocrites think they can deceive God, while in fact it is he who outwits them. For example, when they stand up for prayer, they do so lazily, showing off to the people, and they do not remember God except a little. Wavering between disbelief and belief, neither standing with these believers nor those unbelievers, and whomever God leaves to go astray, because they have earned it based on the system of cause and effect. You will never find any way for them. O you who believe, do not take the unbelievers instead of the believers as your protectors. Do you wish to give God a clear proof of your two-facedness and weak faith against yourselves? Without a doubt, the hypocrites will be in the deepest depths of hell. You will never find any helper for them. Except for those who repent, set right what they have done, hold fast to God, and dedicate their religion exclusively to God. Such people are with the believers. God will soon give the believers a great reward. Why should God punish you if you are grateful and believe? God is all appreciative of such people and all knowing. God does not like the disclosure of evil in speech except by someone who has been wronged. God is all hearing and all knowing. Whether you disclose or hide a good deed, or pardon an evil act, God is indeed a powerful forgiver. As for those who disbelieve in God and His messengers, and seek to differentiate God from His messengers and say, "We believe in some and disbelieve in some," seeking to take a way in between, they are the true unbelievers. We have prepared for them a humiliating punishment. But as for those who believe in God and His messengers and make no distinction between any of them, He will soon give them their rewards. God is all-forgiving, all-merciful. The people of the book, the Jews, looking for an excuse to disbelieve, ask you to bring down for them a book from the sky. However, they asked Moses something even greater. "Show us God visibly." A thunderbolt struck them for their wickedness. Then they worshipped the calf they had made, after all the manifest proofs that had come to them. And yet, despite this, we forgave them and gave Moses a clear authority, a superior and decisive logic. We raised Mount Sinai above them when they made their covenant and told them, "Enter the city's gate while prostrating, and do not violate the Sabbath." And we took from them a solemn covenant that they would obey. Then, because they broke their covenant, disbelieved in God's signs, killed the prophets unjustly, and said to the prophet, "Our hearts are in a sheath, so we cannot understand you," God sealed their hearts because of their disbelief. So they do not believe, except a few. And for their disbelief and uttering a grave slander against Mary, and saying in mockery and derision, "We killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, the so-called messenger of God," but they neither killed nor crucified him, for it was made to appear to them that they had done so. Those who differ concerning him are surely in doubt about this event, as they have no accurate information, but only conjectures and suppositions. They certainly did not kill him. Rather, God raised him up toward himself. God is almighty, all-wise. The genuine and righteous people of the book, Jews, will surely believe in him as God's prophet and servant when they breathe their last. And on the day of resurrection, he will be a witness against them that he conveyed God's oneness and announced his own servanthood. Due to the Jews' wrongdoing to themselves and others, and because they bar many from the way of God, we prohibited some of the good things that had been permitted to them. They take usury from those who are in great difficulty, even though we prohibited this, and so we also denied them these blessings because they eat up the people's wealth wrongfully. We have prepared for the unbelievers among those who conceal the truth and deprive people of their rights a painful punishment. But as for those among them who are deeply rooted in knowledge and have faith, they believe in what has been sent down to you and before you. We shall soon give them a great reward, especially to those who maintain the prayer, give the zakat, and believe in God and the last day. We have truly revealed to you, as we did to Noah and the prophets after him, as well as to Abraham and Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes descended from Jacob, Jesus and Job, Jonah, Aaron, and Solomon. We gave David the Psalms and sent revelation to messengers, some of whose accounts we have recounted to you before, and others whose accounts we have not recounted to you. God spoke to Moses in a special manner. These messengers are sent as bearers of good news and warners so that humanity may have no argument against God after their sending. God is ever mighty and wise. But although the obstinate deny him, God bears witness to what he has sent down to you. He sent it down with his knowledge. The angels also attest to its truthfulness, and God's testimony is more than enough. Indeed, those who disbelieve and bar people from the way of God have certainly gone astray, very far astray. Indeed, as for those who are unbelievers and do wrong, God shall never forgive them nor lead them to any way, except the way to hell, to remain in it forever. This is an easy thing for God. O people, the messenger has brought the truth for you from your Lord, so believe, it is better for you. But if you disbelieve, you will not harm God in the least, because whatever is in the heavens and earth belongs to God. God is all-knowing, all-wise. O people of the Book, do not go to extremes in your religion and do not attribute anything to God except the truth, namely that the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was a messenger of God, his word that he cast toward Mary, and a spirit from him. So believe in God and his messengers, and do not say God is a trinity. If you relinquish these absurd beliefs, that is to your own benefit. God alone is worthy of worship. He is far exalted above having any son. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth belongs to him. God suffices as a trustee. The Messiah would never refuse to be God's servant, nor would the angels brought near refuse. He will assemble whoever disdains being his servant and is arrogant on the day of judgment. As for those who have faith and do righteous deeds, he will deliver their rewards to them completely and in full. In addition, he will enhance them out of his grace, but he will punish the disdainful and the arrogant with a painful punishment, and they will find no guardian or helper against God. O humanity, truly a conclusive proof has come to you from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light, an illuminating scripture. As for those who believe in God and hold fast to Him, He will admit them to His mercy and grace and guide them to the destination of happiness along a straight path toward Him. They ask you for a ruling on the inheritance of brothers and sisters. Say, God gives you a ruling concerning the Kalala. If a man dies childless and has no surviving parents but a sister, she shall receive half of what he would leave for a brother. If a sister dies and has only a brother, he shall inherit everything from her if she has no children or parents. If there are two sisters, they shall receive two-thirds of what he leaves. If there are several brothers and sisters, the man's share shall be the same as two sisters' share. God makes clear this inheritance system for you, lest you should go astray. God has knowledge of all things.